Hey, this is Ryan Harris, co-host of The Jay Pitch Show and co-founder of an amazing company called Simba. Simba is like QuickBooks on steroids for real estate agents, and it's changing the way they do their accounting and manage their business. Time is money, and Simba saves real estate agents both. Simba takes away the administrative burden of being an agent, from deal tracking to bookkeeping and taxes. Simba makes your entire workload seamless and stress-free. You can be up and running in seconds. Download Simba for free straight from the App Store, add your agent profile and commission split, upload your contacts straight from your phone, connect your bank accounts, and automate your bookkeeping and accounting. Simba is the most mobile-friendly app ever built for real estate agents. So if you're looking for a way to save time, grow your business, and stress less, then look no farther than Simba. Try it out today and see the difference it can make in your business. It is available on iOS and Android. You can search Simba, S-Y-M-B-A in the App Store or go to getsimba.com.
Let me talk to you for a minute about my friend Michael Bush. Mike has spent over 20 plus years with Northwestern Mutual as a financial advisor and manages an office here in Louisville. He's my own personal financial advisor. One reason is that he knows that my investments in real estate and my business are my best investments where I get my best returns. After that, I also invest in the stock market for diversification and tax advantages. Mike and his team have done a great job handling those investments for me. Their team takes a comprehensive look at planning, so he's regularly bringing up ideas that add value and build a more secure plan. Things like protecting my income with disability insurance, protecting my family with life insurance, and ways to get more out of my cash that would otherwise be sitting in a savings account earning nothing. Mike and his team at Northwestern Mutual have been great partners for me and my family, and I encourage you to give him a call. No obligation, just a conversation to see how they can help. Call Michael Bush at 502-727-2758 or email him at michael.bush@nm.com.
We spent the past couple of years in a crazy hot market. Louisville home sales decline as demand outpaces supply. Effective communication is at the core of any situation. If you master these two ideas, you'll have a chance of being successful at residential real estate marketing. I think you need to be looking for investment opportunities that move the needle. The market will never crash if demand exceeds supply. This is what I've been telling you all along.
This is the Jay Pitch Show. And we're back, folks. Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show here on Talk Radio 1080. Real news, real talk. I'm your host, Jay Pitts, here with Ryan Harris, intrepid co-host, sir. What's going on?
What's up, everyone? Jay, we were just talking about you order some new golf clubs.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
And you might get some lessons?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really committed to lessons just yet. I desperately need them, I'm sure. I thought, you know, I've been using like... I bought a set of golf clubs. This is funny and embarrassing all at the same time. I bought a set of golf clubs that I've currently been using from my college roommate, who was about 8 inches shorter than me. When he got a new set, probably 5 years after we graduated college, it was a set of Max Fly irons. They're real forgiving. They're forged, of course. They're not very good, but they're, you know, whatever. They were better than what I had, and they weren't very much money. And I don't play golf much because, and I play more now than I did then, probably because I was a workaholic back then, and I'm a little more balanced these days. But I just never really had the need. I'm a scramble player. Like, I play a couple of times a year in a scramble, and that's about it. And increasingly, I've enjoyed it and made some slight improvements that unfortunately don't stick. So, yeah, it was a step for me to order a nice new driver and a new set of irons. You know, I don't have a rescue. I don't have good wedges. Like, I'm like kind of baby stepping it. We're gonna see what happens. If I continue to have interest in playing more, I will get some lessons.
Yeah, I'll show you how to put all your clubs in your bag and make you look like you know what you're doing, at least. I can do that for you.
Okay, so you're telling me that I haven't done it correctly up until
now. I don't know. I haven't seen your bag, but probably not.
Let's see. So when the bag's got like one of those stands, you know, you hit the little thing and it stands up by itself. I put the putter, the shortest clubs in the bottom slots, and I kind of, it goes like one little slot at the bottom, then two, four, and then one at the top. And I basically arrange shortest, you know, clubs to longest clubs, bottom to top. And, you know, so it's like your putter and your 56 and then like your 52 and your pitching and then probably 8, 9 in the left slot. Then I go the same thing all the way up with the driver in the top by itself.
So you're almost there. But putter should be at the top with all your woods.
Ah, yeah. Why?
That's just how it is.
That's just how it is. See, I'm a baseball player, so I know just how it is. So several things about how you do things in baseball make no
sense.
You could
see somebody on a baseball ball field and know if they don't belong there.
This is true. And so you see me and you're like, this guy.
Oh, this scrub.
Look at this scrub. I'm about to take some money from him. But the good thing is I don't bet money, so you'll never take money. All right, what are we talking about today other than my golf game?
We have a lot to talk about today. We'll just kick it off with the basketball tournament. I just saw this right before came in here to record today. I hadn't heard anything about it. I know what the basketball tournament is, but there is a Louisville team in it this year, and Peyton Siva, Russ Smith, Luke Hancock are all playing, and their first game's Tuesday at Freedom Hall.
Wow.
So they're playing here in Louisville, the regional. There's eight teams. They're a two seed in the tournament. It's that one where winner takes all $1 million. And yeah, they're playing at Freedom Hall on Tuesday. So I'm definitely going to go to that.
So, okay, you have to help me. I'm pretty sure I know what this is. And I think it's like the second year or maybe?
No, I mean, they've probably been doing it 7-8 years now.
Well, I did not become aware of it at all until last year. And it was kind of chance that I did. You know, I usually go to the gym in the morning. And, last summer, there was a couple, invariably there's a couple days in the summer, the kids get more active. They've got things going on. I can't make my morning gym trip because I'm doing a drop off or something at basketball camp or something. And I go to the gym a little later around lunchtime, maybe a little earlier in the afternoon. And the TVs, a million TVs on in the gym when you're doing your cardio or what have you. And there's this basketball on. And I'm like, what is this? And it's like celebrities, some like ex-players, things like that. And not very many celebrities, maybe ex-players more than anything. Maybe a celebrity or two that are like really good that somehow work their way into playing. But like, I didn't know the prize money or I didn't really know what it was about. There's a couple of like, old dookies that like shoot it up from like, from the hash. And like, it seemed like fun, but I didn't know idea what it was about.
Yeah. It's just, and they just college call it players,
the basketball teams. Tournament.
Yeah. The basketball tournament. What
was it? Maybe do they have like celebrity coaches in some cases? Maybe
I think so sometimes, or players that are in the NBA from that school
that coach.
Yep. So okay. I think Marcus Smart coached, Ohio State last year.
Okay. So it's just
players from that school.
Okay. Well, then that explains a little bit. Okay. So I must have seen the Duke team play then. The ex-Duke players.
Yep.
Coached by. Okay. So that makes better sense. So the fact that all these guys are just former U of L stars.
Yep. All okay, former U of L stars. Okay.
Who did you say was on the team?
So it doesn't have the whole team here. Sure, we could find it. But I do know Peyton Siva, Russ Smith, and Luke Hancock are playing.
Luke Hancock's playing.
It's a funny thing about Peyton Siva. We were just talking about golf. I saw he's starting to get golf lessons from Corey Kaufman at Persimmon.
Oh, nice. Well, I went to Bellarmine with Corey. So, yeah, no, that makes a little sense. Is he an assistant pro or is he the pro?
I know he owns the golf academy out there.
That's what I'm saying. I've seen his social media posts about
so he has players on Korn Ferry, had one on PGA Tour. Has a ton of college kids. He's got the junior camp out there. He's crushing it. It's pretty cool what he's doing.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Well, I look forward. I won't be attending. I know that I have a conflict, but I will be following the basketball tournament now that I know U of L. And they're a number two seed. How do they determine the seeds, I wonder?
It's a good question. I don't know.
All right. We'll have to figure that out.
Yep. All right. Here's story from the field. We do this every week. I think we should honestly just start calling this Hey Jay.
Hey Jay, but, what do you say?
Yeah, this is another consumer question. We had a consumer, or we actually had an agent question last week. This time it's a consumer writing in, and they said, Hey Jay, I'm going to be listing my house soon, and I want to interview at least three agents. What should I ask, and what red flags should I watch out for so I know I make the right choice?
Perfect. Perfect question. Okay. So, obviously certain things are going to be discussed. And my advice to anyone interviewing a real estate agent is you probably know several. There are 6,000 in the Greater Louisville Association of Realtors, which is a lot for a market our size. Similar markets have, kind of a similar, distribution of agent per like household. Atlanta is crazy. You know as well as anybody, having work doing your work with Simba and MLS systems, how many members the different MLS systems have around the country. Louisville is actually a small system with 6,000, but compared to our population, that's a huge population of agents. So you probably know several. Do not just hire somebody because you're a friend, because they're even family. Do not hesitate to ask them important questions. We're going to talk about some of those questions, but do not hesitate to ask those same questions just because you have a close personal relationship with the person. They didn't ask how you determine who you're going to interview. I would certainly say with that respect, not to focus on a question they didn't ask, but you should look at reviews. It's not that an agent can't be good without a bunch of reviews, but an agent with a bunch of reviews typically indicates someone who really cares about their business, someone who invests the amount necessary, because reviews don't happen on their own. Reviews are curated. Reviews are requested. So focus on somebody that has a lot of reviews, or a number of somebodies that have a lot of reviews. Talk to a couple of different companies. That's fine. Know that agents at Keller Williams are not the same just because they're with Keller Williams. Agents with RE/MAX are not the same just because they're with RE/MAX. All right. So what questions to ask? And Ryan, I think this one's going to have to run us through the break. We've got a few minutes here, but I think I'm going to probably take a little bit of extra time here.
Yeah.
So questions to ask. Obviously, you want to ask about commission. Okay. An agent that is willing to discount their commission, okay, is an indication of a subpar level of service. Expect to pay full freight. Okay. If you have a friend that's willing to discount a small amount for you, okay, great. But anybody who's willing to discount more than one percentage point is a real indication of a lack of service provided. So that's the big one that you want to discuss. Ask them about their marketing plan. Okay. And phrase it that way. And when they diminish the need for a marketing plan, that tells you they don't have a plan. Okay. They should have a plan. Ask them about their pricing strategy. If they don't have a strategy for pricing, that means they don't have a plan. Okay. They're waiting to see what you think, thinking about what they think, and trying to acquiesce as close to their number as they possibly can to appease you. Those are big things. Red flags to me. You can ask an agent how many units they close per year. If it's more than about 30 and they don't have staff, real red flag. This is somebody who is going to be, regardless of how efficient they are, they're going to be spread very thin. Okay. They're going to be stressed. They're going to have a hard time giving you the service that you need without staff and support. I personally believe the way to go is a team, because you have lots of people that are able to fill in when the market is at its busiest. So I guess maybe we don't have to. We're right here about the end of segment one. I think that was a pretty concise answer. If you want to dive into a little more after the break, we can. But I guess with that, let's hear from a couple of our sponsors here, and we'll be back right after the break with the Jay Pitt Show on Talk Radio 1080. Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no-obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.
You're listening to Real News, Real Talk, Talk Radio 1080.
Welcome back to the Jay Pitts Show. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris. This is Talk Radio 1080, Real News, Real Talk. And folks, I can't believe it. Jay got that question done and pretty much answered before we cut to a couple sponsors.
Yeah.
We're getting better.
We're getting back. You know, I felt like like we're going to have to, I'm going to show my lack of knowledge because it's probably not the same thing. You know, I think in the DJ world, they talk about hitting the post. Is that a thing, Jim? He's nodding his head for you. So hitting the post, I'm going to explain for a second. This is a small talk. You put it on the thing so I get to do it.
Okay. All right.
So you ever hear a song start on the radio, right? And you hear the instrumental before you hear the lyrics. And there's the DJ talking, right? And they're getting their transitions in and moving in. So hitting the post is where the DJ can finish everything he needs to say right before the lyrics start. So you're not supposed to speak over lyrics in radio. I've heard this explained to me. I'm probably sound like a novice. Jim, am I doing good? All right. I got a nod here. So I felt like I just hit the post for the first time in our radio career.
Yeah, that was good.
I mean, hey, you know, look down, 10:55. I'm like, man, I'm done. I can't believe it.
All right, let's see how much we can mess it up.
All right, let's roll.
All right. We got this article here from Broke Agent Media. Active housing inventory for May falls to the lowest level on record. A new Redfin report shows fewer U.S. homes for sale in May than for any previous month on record, dating back to 2012.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I will add a caveat there, okay, because I believe in clarity. I think this is probably some sellers refusing, not just rate locked, as we've discussed, sellers, but sellers of less than desirable properties not bringing their homes to market because they feel and see the drop in demand. So just in the interest of honesty and numbers, because stats can certainly deceive, I think some of that is to play, but you know, we're not headline readers here. So I will say there's not very much housing for sale. There's not. Whether it's the lowest on record, whether that's intellectually honest or not, I'm not entirely sure, but it's very slight.
Yeah. And it's a perfect lead into our next article that talks about builder sentiment is on the rise. And, you know, a big reason is because there isn't much inventory.
Absolutely.
So here we have, it says builder confidence has officially climbed into positive territory, according to the National Association of Home Builders, Wells Fargo Housing Market Index, which rose 5 points in June 2023 to 55. Anything above 50 signifies general optimism among home builders.
Yeah, totally agree with that. First-hand knowledge. I have the pleasure of working with some large national builders on their land acquisition, or more appropriately, lot acquisition to build new construction. The caveat I'll add there is this is top heavy. It's the nation's largest builders that build volume in affordably priced new construction. You're seeing in this market the high twos, low threes, even sneaking up to 400,000. There is a precipitous drop in activity above four, especially above 500, where a lot of new construction falls. So it's a few select builders that deliver, you know, affordable entry level new construction that are carrying the sentiment and carrying the new housing starts.
Yeah. What do you think's a better indication of a builder sentiment? Is it better to ask these large, you know, builders that you're talking about that produce, you know, just almost an unbelievable amount of homes a year? Or is it the builders in individual cities that have been building there for a long time and have a really good grasp on the area?
I think it's really tough. I mean, you can get two opposite answers, unfortunately, but that industry has gone this direction and it's spread across the nation, even in smaller markets. So, you know, we can name them by name, but I can tell you the top 50 builders in the nation are what's moving the market. It's not the small builder that builds 8 houses a year anymore. You know, there's still room for custom home builders to thrive. And we see that in our market, and we see it, I would say, in every market. That's not the activity. The sentiment, I think, if you surveyed those, would be low at this moment. Positive sentiment is in volume, which is our way out of the housing, you know, inventory situation that we're in. So we should applaud that. I don't know that you can extract it, to be quite honest. I mean, the market is big builders anymore.
Yeah. You know where builder sentiment would be high, no matter who you interview?
Elizabethtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Blue Oval is driving tons of traffic there. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about the other day, there's so much good news coming out of there. It's not even talked about in the news anymore.
It's really not. You know, you get a factory that employs, you know, 400 people, and you just announced it's a $25 million investment in the community, which used to be front page news, and now it doesn't even make the newspaper.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. I'm excited to see what happens. Yeah, it's gonna be cool.
Yeah, very good.
All right, let's see. You want to talk about this missing submarine that everybody's...
Man, not really, to be honest.
Yeah, it's Thursday now, so...
I don't know what the story really is for us. It's one of these news stories that captivates the general public, almost plays into like meme culture and virality of like internet kind of culture, but I still don't see how it's possible that we've lost sight of this thing. It was kind of like the story I was talking to somebody this morning about, the story about the missing 747 a few years ago. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
Like, there's not a homing beacon on this. Is there interference with the signal? Did they not tether it to anything? Like, how do you drop something that deep and not keep a handle on it? And again, the $250,000 a ticket blows my mind. That's what people pay to do this. I don't know. I don't really have much intelligence to say, to be honest about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's tragic.
Tragic, for sure. I saw, the remote that used to control it, Logitech.
Yeah.
Their stock fell over $1 billion after the news came out. Like, that's not what that's built for. It's built for playing PlayStation. Logitech. Controlling a submarine that's 2.5 miles.
Logitech sells thumb drives and iPhone cases, and
it shows what can drive the stock market nowadays.
It's crazy. Virality is crazy.
Yeah. Let's jump in real quick. Let's talk about Bitcoin spot ETF filings have skyrocketed. Have you paid attention to that at all?
I have a little bit, and the price is following. So, I haven't checked it today.
Yeah. Rates went up a little, or just they stayed where they are, but
yeah.
You saw S&P 500 drop. You saw tech stocks drop. But, Bitcoin over the last week's up 20%.
Yeah, BTC is at $30,167.52 right now. That is, kind of crazy, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
Over the last 1 month, BTC is up.
It's up like 28% on the year.
Yes.
It's up like 47%
on the year. 30,000 1 month ago is at 26. On June 15th, 1 week ago, BTC was trading at 24.9.
Yeah. So you had BlackRock, Fidelity, Citadel, Schwab, Deutsche Bank, Invesco, Wisdom Tree all apply for the Spotcoin Bitcoin ETF. In the same week, it all came out within a few days, and there's been more than those names announced lately. Mm-hmm. These are just the ones I wrote down, and it all comes within a week of the SEC going after Binance and Coinbase. So I don't know. To me, it seems like it's a coordinated job to, Bitcoin's here to stay. You've even seen sentiment from Jerome Powell and these other players change in the last few days. Like, hey, it's here to stay, but let's let these big players be who everybody has to go through for it. Yeah, it's almost what it seems like, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. Like, if you can't beat it, control it. Like, that's been kind of the general consensus here. I mean, but even still, I'm gonna say this comment, and this is something that you probably know my opinion. We're sitting here, and the Dow is at 33,935 right now. 33,935. Aren't we in a recession? I mean, you look at year to date, okay, the stock market is trading sideways. On January 13th, the stock market was at 34,189. It was at 33,136. So we're 800 points above where the stock market opened the year. Okay, yeah, it's dove. It was down to 31,9 in March. But, here we are. Weren't we in a recession? Like, I used to say, you could tell market cycles peak to trough was, you could tell by a 10% correction in the market. The market has corrected 10% like clockwork. 5% up, 5% up, 5% up, 10% back. 5% up, 5% up, 5% up, 10% back. And it was like, a 10% was just like a reset.
Yeah.
So we've got roughly a 10% correction from peak, 3,000 points. Like, peak was 36, we're at 33.9. Like, how is it that everything is doom and gloom, but we're at almost 34,000 in the Dow?
Yeah, I saw Turkey. This is a little off topic, kind of on topic, but this morning I woke up, had my coffee, daily dose of Twitter, jumped on and saw Turkey's interest rates went from like 5% to 15% overnight.
Overnight.
And there was another country, I can't remember what it was, that it jumped like 5%. Could you imagine if that happened here?
Oh, no. No, I mean, like, it, you know, for all we talk about the central bank, I mean, like, we keep things like that from happening.
Yeah.
For the most part. Now, we did see a doubling in 3 months last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, but that was from 3 to 6, not from 5 to 15.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm sitting there in the morning and I just start thinking, can you imagine if that happened here? And I'm thinking, well, what do those people think there now?
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah,
but we're going to cut to a couple ad sponsors. We'll be back on the Jay Pitch Show. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris. Talk Radio 1080 Real News, Real Talk. See you in a sec.
Hey, listen up. Do you own a car, truck, or boat? Do you own a business? Do you own or rent a home? If so, let's face it, you need to protect these assets from damage caused by accidents. For that, you need a friend in the insurance business. Let my friend John Blackford with Kentucky Farm Bureau protect you. Like many of you listening, Jen and I have worked hard to build our businesses over the years. John has delivered on his promise to protect us when we've needed it the most. We've experienced losses as small as a crack in our windshield or as big as a catastrophic property fire. While he has 2 decades of experience, Kentucky Farm Bureau has over a century of operational excellence all across the state. Every year, insurance companies move in and out of Kentucky, but Farm Bureau has proven to be a constant. John and Kentucky Farm Bureau have perfected the balance of providing service and coverage at competitive rates. Listen, we've all worked hard, and loss or damage is inevitable. This is why we all need a friend in the insurance industry. John Blackford has been that genuine friend to me for years. Let John Blackford be that friend to you. Call him today at 502-327-5480 for advice on all your insurance needs.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.
You're listening to Real News, Real Talk. Talk Radio 1080.
And we're back, folks. Welcome back to the Jay Pitch Show for segment 3. We'll talk a little lab-grown chickens. Actually, no. Maybe in just a moment. Ryan's got an idea. What are we talking, Ryan?
And that's how we mess it up. But, yeah, I want to talk about this idea of living your life like it's a documentary. So okay. I watched this video the other day, and I've seen other people I admire, entrepreneurs I admire, talk about it. And it's, you know, they say, you know, it is a little narcissistic, but if you're an entrepreneur and you want the most out of your life, you should really look at your life like it's a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are watching you at all times and there's a camera on you and there's going to be a movie made about you eventually. And it really resonated with me. And I'll tell you why. You know, I've started filming these day in the lives that I put on social media, cut up into minute clips. And even though they're a minute, you have to film a lot throughout your day. And I'll tell you what I've been finding is my most productive days, I'm no kidding, are when I do those day in the lives, because I stick to like the routine. I don't try to make it glamorous. Like, oh, I'm eating the healthiest I've ever ate. But like, you know, you try to put on the best version of yourself for these videos.
Make good choices.
You do what you say you're going to do. And you get a ton done. And, you know, it really resonated with me. And, yeah, just like to get your thoughts on that.
I think there's definitely something to that. I can tell you this. I learn the best by teaching. So how do I connect those two? You know, for me, if I have to explain something to you, right? If I have to explain something to you, then I have to have a really good handle on that material. I have to have really good command of that subject matter, right? So basically, it's kind of similar, right? I'm going to put on the best version of myself so that I can help you understand a topic. And most of what I do is coaching, leading, training, etc. It's very similar when you invite scrutiny, because that's what you do. Anytime you put anything out for someone else to consume, you invite scrutiny, right? We joke about the trolls in my Twitter comments or my my TikToks or my reels that I put out that get a lot of views. In fact, maybe we even lean into the topics.
That. They get a lot of views.
Well, yeah, you know, humble brag. They actually get a fair amount of views. Yeah. How about that? What I meant was the TikToks that get a lot of views have a lot of trolls. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant. All right. Thank you, sir. I guess what I'm saying is when you invite scrutiny, you want to put the best version of yourself forward. And I can guarantee you that, no, you're not being fake, but you are being optimal. And that leads to productivity. And the same thing could be applied, generally speaking, okay, to thrusting yourself into a leadership position, because whether you like it or not, eyes are on you. And as long as you're cognizant of it, then you need to put your best foot forward. So I've got 100 and some odd real estate agents that pay attention to everything I do. I have to be on my game. And frankly, you know, I'll take and draw another corollary here. You know, an adventure you're about to embark on. Mm-hmm. There's no better teaching role model role than being a parent. And when you really realize how much those kids soak up of what you do and who you are, you'll pay close attention to what you show them. So I think there's definitely something to it. I don't know much about documentaries, and I'm probably not going to have one made about my life. I do some candid stuff, you know, in meetings. And, you know, I will say that it does very much motivate me. And it occurs to me sometimes in those meetings, you know, you go on the socials and you watch those videos and you can tell I'm talking to people. I know Hannah's got a camera on me, and I know I got to come up with something worth sharing during that meeting.
Yeah.
Right? So you put your game face on. That's really
what
it is.
Do you even notice the camera that often anymore?
No, not at all.
You've been doing it for months now.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. And frankly, there was a camera there streaming it for in-house for the company before we were even pulling the film down and editing it. So no, I do have moments where I remember that we're recording this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it does provide in those moments extra motivation. You're like, hey, take this in this direction because this is what they need to hear.
Yeah. You said you have some people reach out to you about, you know, the videos you've been doing. What's people saying mostly? Is it other agents reaching out? Like, hey, man, yeah, this is great, or...
Well, the friends, family, past clients, you know, acquaintances, it's like, hey, it's really cool that you do this. Or, hey, it's really cool that you have the courage to do this. Mm-hmm. Or I would never be able to put myself out there like that. Honestly, I think if I had really thought about it before I started doing it, like any video at all, it might have psyched me out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I didn't really think about it. I just thought about talking to our agents and trying to coach them. And I knew that they would be the ones that would consume our content the most and other agents like them. So it would help in recruiting and it would help in retention. It was good for my business. It's what I needed to do as a leader. Because you're an agent in my company, but I don't see you every single day.
Yeah.
But you're on Instagram every single day.
Yeah.
Okay. And when my video hits your feed, you're like, that's a good point, Jay.
Let's see how bad we can mess it up.
Yeah, well,
it's funny. I think these short videos make it somewhat easier. It's so funny to look back when we were at the old office, and you remember the videos Phil and Luke were doing with us, where there was one agent, and we had like a topic, and you were like, it can't be, we need to do it at least 3 to 5. It needs to be 3 to 5 minutes long. Like,
oh, I know.
And need to sit there and talk, and like no cuts in between it either. Like, we tried to do one shoot, and now everything is like, you want it cut. You want it short.
Yeah.
You want a headline. You don't want to look like you're just sitting there talking.
30 seconds now, but less than 60 seconds. One cut, one take, but then she's going to cut it 22 times.
Yeah.
Like, you know, every breath I take is going to be cut out, and it's funny. It is funny. And I do remember those, and those are painful to watch, by the way. What's even more painful is the old blooper videos that they used to put together we would mess up trying to get 5 minutes of clean video in one take. But no, man, that's people do notice. Agents definitely notice, you know, different team leaders, similar folks to myself around the country. They definitely notice and ask for, I mean, I got added to a Facebook group yesterday by a good friend of mine. He started it. It's you know, ChatGPT or AI use in real estate. He wanted me to help contribute. And I just said, you know, one of the best uses we've had is writing scripts for short form video. I don't have to take the creative time to sit down and write out a script. I know the content and I feed the key points into the AI, and it gives me a 60-second video script. So I don't do very many of those videos. I'm happy to share it. Like I said, I'm transparent as the day is long. So I will tell you exactly what I do. Those are not my words always. They're my concepts, but they're not my words.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I wanted to ask you this. I was thinking about it yesterday. I was watching one of your videos, and it was one of the team meetings, and you were talking something about, I don't know if it was trailer park homes or...
Yeah, that video did really well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just, I'm like, how do you know all this stuff?
How do I know about it?
Yeah, you know so much stuff.
Well, I can tell you this, you know, it's a conversation that you and I have discussed a little bit recently. I started off in the mortgage business and I made loans on mobile homes, and you have to know what is required to convert a piece of personal property in a mobile home to real estate in order to be able to lend upon it and the instruments required. And so that particular lesson, that's how I learned. I will tell you this. I had the benefit early in my career. So I was a mortgage professional for, you know, 3.5 years. Mortgage people handle more transactions than real estate people do, because on average, their compensation is less per file. And so they need to do more transactions to make similar money.
There's less lender, less mortgage professionals.
There's less mortgage professionals and real estate agents. So you do a great month is closing 10 deals a month. But you rarely find a real estate agent that closes 10 deals in a month. Right. So you see a lot more transactions. You see problem solving more frequent. Okay. So I go from that to being a bank foreclosure REO listing agent, which the listeners may not know. REO stands for real estate owned. It comes from a line on a balance sheet where a bank has foreclosed and reclaimed ownership of a piece of property when somebody didn't pay their mortgage and they want to liquidate that. Those were on average small prices. Complicated transactions, and a lot of them when I got into the business. 2008 is when I started selling real estate full time. So from 2008 to 2013, I did thousands of transactions on bank foreclosed property. And those have very unique and like crazy problems that you have to solve. So really, I've just done a lot of deals in my life. And you notice that the problems become consistent. And even if they're not exactly the same, I can take this solution and it's kind of like that, and I can apply it here. And here's the difference. Okay, I learned that now. And then I take the two experiences and I apply them to the next one that comes along. And it's just, you snowball, your knowledge snowballs.
You know what I feel like you're like as a mortgage broker who actually cares about their agents, does produce, and has done a lot of deals in their career. You know, it's like when you're a kid and you ask your parents questions all the time and you just expect them to know the answer. And even if they tell you something, like, they may not know it, but you're going to believe whatever they say. You know, do you ever feel like as a broker that you are, where agents, you know, look up to you and trust you, agents expect you to know every single thing they come to you with? And I'd say you probably know most.
I know a lot. I don't get stumped much. I had one the other day that was kind of, that stumped me. I won't elaborate too much, but an agent asked me how to comp a hotel, an abandoned hotel in this little sleepy country town. There's no comps, none. Hmm. And think about a motel. What other uses do a hotel have?
Make them Airbnb rooms.
But it was like a small town with a little bit of attraction nearby. But like, if it's not a hotel, it's not worth anything near, like even an appraiser's guessing. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have a great answer for that, but I gave him some ideas. But you just level with them. That's really what it is.
Yep. Well, we're going to cut to a couple sponsors and we'll be back. We're going to take our pick on who's going to win the Mark Zuckerberg versus Elon cage match. And we're going to do the game we've been playing, Would You Rather. So we'll be back on the Jay Pitch Show. I'm your co-host, Ryan Harris. Talk Radio 1080. See you in a sec.
Hey, this is Ryan Harris, co-host of the Jay Pitch Show and co-founder of an amazing company called Simba. Simba is like QuickBooks on steroids for real estate agents, and it's changing the way they do their accounting and manage their business. Time is money, and Simba saves real estate agents both. Simba takes away the administrative burden of being an agent, from deal tracking to bookkeeping and taxes. Simba makes your entire workload seamless and stress-free. You can be up and running in seconds. Download Simba for free straight from the App Store, add your agent profile and commission split, upload your contacts straight from your phone, connect your bank accounts, and automate your bookkeeping and accounting. Simba is the most mobile-friendly app ever built for real estate agents. So if you're looking for a way to save time, grow your business, and stress less, then look no farther than Simba. Try it out today and see the difference it can make in your business. It is available on iOS and Android. You can search Simba, S-Y-M-B-A, in the App Store or go to getsimba.com.
Real news, real talk, Talk Radio 1080, an iHeart Radio station.
Welcome back to the Jay Pitt Show. I'm your co-host Ryan Harris, Talk Radio 1080, real news, real talk. All right, we've talked about a lot already. We got just about 10, 11 more minutes. And I'm sure you saw this today. Zuckerberg and Elon going back and forth. Supposedly, they're going to do a cage match.
This is going to be so funny. Like, is this really going to happen? This is not happening.
So, I think there's a chance. I wouldn't put anything past Elon. I mean, he does things that everybody says he's never going to. And Zuckerberg's kind of being a, I think he's a loser for this. You know, he's been training MMA for 5 years now, and he knows way more than what Elon's doing. The only way Elon has a chance is if there's no weight limit, if they don't have weight they have to meet.
Well, I don't know what they both weigh. I can only imagine Elon
Elon tweeted, my best move is the walrus. I just lay on you. He tweeted that. He said, that's my best move I have. So if that tells you anything.
I don't know, man. Like, this is so funny to me. Like, so Zuck's been training MMA. I was unaware of that.
Supposedly, you know, he posted his, the Murph. Did you see the Murph challenge he did?
I mean, I know what the Murph is.
Yeah,
I didn't
so
know
he posted his time, and everybody's like, well, that's like the fifth fastest Murph of all time, or like only a few seconds behind the fastest one, or like you had to have been doing half push-ups or like something.
There's no way.
Yeah.
I'm not a Zuckerberg fan. Like, I mean, I acknowledge that he's changed the world, of course.
You know who he should really fight?
Who's that?
The Winklevosses.
That would be the Winklevi.
Yeah.
That was the best line in that movie. The Winklevi. They called him the plural Winklevi. Those guys are kind of crazy. Yeah. Like, big Bitcoiners.
Yeah, well, they're also, yeah. Well, we can get into it.
Let's not go.
That's who we should fight because,
you know, I mean, there's probably some residual bad blood there, but I want to say, like, I mean, you know, you've proven me wrong before with being more informed. I want to say Elon would win.
Okay.
I want to take Elon. Like, my spirit and my soul wants to take Elon because Elon's hilarious and I don't really like Zuck all that much. But if he's training MMA and, like, I mean,
you know, Zuck said, just name the place. And Elon said, how about Vegas? We do it in Vegas. It'd sell out.
Oh, guaranteed.
They would make so much money. It'd probably be charity.
I mean, we talked about the basketball tournament earlier. This, like, specialty sports promotion stuff that has gotten so big with, you know, essentially celebrity boxing and celebrity boxers trying to become real boxers that, like, kind of looking like real boxers at times. Really, really kind of interesting. I don't know. I want to take Elon. If you told me that Zuck trains, so.
Zuck versus Elon. You have Elon. I'll take Zuck. We'll watch it, put some money on it, see how it goes.
There you go. Since you can't bet me at golf because I'm not good enough, we'll.
I'll give you some shots.
You'd have to give me way too many shots. All right. So we go into Would You Rathers?
Yep. So Would You Rathers, you know, we've done these previous. I think last time you asked me, would you rather give up your phone for a year or shoes for a year? I said shoes. You said phone.
Of course.
I can't remember the other one we did, but I got a few more for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to ask me first? You want me to ask you first?
You go ahead. I'll be the subject.
All right. Jay, would you rather give up your car or your computer for a year?
Completely easy answer. Computer. Final answer. I've...
I thought you'd go the other way.
If I can keep, if I, I, well, I could go the other way, but my phone is so, like, and it goes against my last answer, right? Yeah. I just don't want to be without shoes unless I live at the beach, which you got me on that comeback. If I live at the beach, I can go without shoes. But as long as I've got an iPhone, I don't need a computer for much.
Okay. See, I thought you could just Uber.
I go multiple days. I could Uber, and I could probably hire a driver for a year. that would be painful. But I could probably make that happen. But I don't use my computer very much.
This question also only applies to people that don't live in, like, New York. Or
this, like, is also true.
It's an easy question for them.
Because it's easy because they do it. They do it without, you know, without a car every day. Sounds pretty bratty.
Yeah, that's, right? That's a really good answer to ask real estate agents. Or computer.
You know, I could do without the car because I don't show a lot of houses anymore.
Can you imagine having to write every offer on your phone?
That is bad. But I don't write many offers either. Right,
I'm coaching. Not because you don't want to.
Not because I don't want to.
Or you can't.
Not because I can't. Not because I don't want to. Because I allow my team to help me in that respect, and I spend my time on marketing. I spend my time on, you know, problem solving, coaching, training, and leading.
Yeah. So, you know, before I ask the next one, I'm always interested how Hannah, who edits these, chooses which would you rather to post.
You know, I think it's honestly, and this is just an insight into me, and Hannah will attest. I have no input on what she selects ever. She picks it all. And as long as I will give feedback sometimes. I'm like, hey, I'd like to see more of this or maybe less of that. But no, she rolls. She does her own thing.
Great. All right. Let's go to the second one.
We didn't get your answer.
Oh, I'd give up car.
You'd give up the car. All right. Yeah. You live in
Crescent Hill area.
You live in Crescent Hill, so you can walk to things a little bit easier than I can. I'm a little more suburban. I could buy that. I expect that.
Yeah.
I'm also, like, a little bit older and a little more crotchety, so I need my...
Well, you know, I probably actually wouldn't be able to give up the car have the baby.
Once the baby comes along. Well, I mean, you know, Ubering with a small child is not a thing. So,
all right. Next one. Would you rather give up traveling for a year or give up eating out at restaurants for a year?
Define traveling.
I guess vacations. No vacation or no eating out for a year.
I'd say vacation. I've got three kids, man. It's too daggone hard to, like, pull dinner together. It's like it's so funny. Like, the memes and stuff are so on point. It's like marriage is arguing with the same person about what to have for dinner every day for the rest of your life.
Speaking of that, you had a great clip the other day about that. I think it came out today.
Oh yeah.
About,
see, this is how little I know about what goes on
about, you know, marriage is sometimes you get everything you want. Sometimes you get nothing that you want. Sometimes you meet in the middle.
I tell you something I've heard recently is this score, this marriage score, where couples are developing, and I know it's slightly off topic, so bear with me.
Sorry.
They tell each other their score for the day. Each day you say, hey, I'm at a 90 today, which means I'm at 90% capacity, which means I need a little help, but not much. Or I'm at 60 today. I'm really drained. I really need you to pick up today. Or I'm at zero. Right. And it's good for couples to stay in communication, because the truth is you want to be able to pick up 100% of your partner, right?
Yeah.
But just the communicating from the party sharing that needs help makes them want to do more, and it lifts your spirits, because you don't want, instead of sitting back and being feeling drained and not able to give and expecting your partner to understand and you know, this helps men, I think, a lot, because we are less perceptive. And yes, that's a generalization, or maybe I'm just speaking about myself. I am less perceptive, and I would like to know. Like, I'm all in. Give me the sign, and let's go. So that was cool. That was interesting.
So I'm looking at my watch. I would just give my... So I have one of the really nice Garmins, and it has a body battery for yourself. So 0 to 100, as you sleep, it charges.
Yeah.
As you do things throughout the day, it gets less. I would just... And it, this thing bothers me sometimes, because, like, I feel great right now. Feel like I slept awesome last night, you know, feel good.
Yeah.
A lot of energy. It says I'm a 47 out of 100.
See, that's garbage.
Yeah.
You feel good. It ought to be like 92.
But am I smarter than the watch? Don't know.
You got an Aura, we get it's like an Aura ring or the Whoop strap any of those things kind of do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I get my sleep score.
I'll tell you, it's amazing how bad sleep is even after one drink.
Oh, absolutely.
One drink ruins sleep.
Alcoholic beverage ruins it. Yep. And you think you're sleeping okay, and you just wonder why you're tired at 3 p.m. the next day, but that's why.
Yep.
No, I'm with you.
All right, we got time for probably one more. I would give up traveling for a year, eat out too much in Louisville with friends, wouldn't give that up. So, all right, one more. Would you rather give up your ability to see for a year or your ability to speak for a year?
Ooh, that's really hard. See or speak. Considering I talk for a living, oh, Lord. I'm still going to say speak.
I'll say this is an easy one for me.
I'm still going to say speak. I think it would be peaceful.
Yeah. Think about how difficult everything is not being able to see. You can't go on walks. You can't drive.
You could still write. You could learn to sign. You could do a lot of things. You could communicate. But like for me, honestly, for a year, it might be a long time. But like a month, like I might enjoy it. It's kind of like this brings me to like the first couple of weeks of like COVID, you know, when because like I have a very chaotic life. And we were like, we're staying home?
Yeah.
Okay. Like for real? And, you know, we just hung out with the kids. We cooked a lot of dinners. My son and I played catch in the backyard. You know, we did a lot of, took walks, like things like that were really peaceful. Now, I will say after, an 8, 3 and an infant in a house for more than a few weeks with no help and no reprieve, it got a little crazy a little quick. But that first couple of weeks were pretty nice. Yep. So I'd give up speaking.
Perfect. Yep, I'm with you. But I think we're about done. You want to sign us off?
Yeah, that's all we got, folks. As always, we appreciate you for tuning in, all your support. Don't forget to email us your questions or DM us on socials. You can find us anywhere. Just look up my name. You can also find Ryan out there. Give him a follow. He would certainly appreciate that. But that's all for this week for the Jay Pitch Show here on Talk Radio 1080. We'll catch you next week. Jay Pitts here, leader of the number one real estate team in Kentucky and host right here on 1080 WKJK. While the average agent sold just 7 homes last year, our team successfully sold over 600. Our proven marketing system gets homes sold for top dollar and gets them sold fast. Many are seeing headlines about prices going down. Want to know the real truth? Text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888 and receive your no obligation home value sent via text directly to your phone within 1 hour.
Hello, my name is Megan. Jay's team recently sold my house, and he really went above and beyond. It was fast and easy, and I got $10,000 over list price. The whole team really made this experience simple and stress-free.
Remember, text the words home value to 502-805-8888. That's home value to 502-805-8888, and receive your no-obligation home value sent directly to your cell phone via text within 1 hour.
Motto Mortgage Premier Partners is your source for hassle-free home loans in Louisville, Kentucky. With their commitment to providing the best loan options, they make buying a home effortless. With Senior Loan Officer Andrew Dow at the helm, you can rest assured that you're in good hands. Andrew has a wealth of experience in the lending industry and has helped countless clients achieve their dreams of owning a home. At Motto Mortgage Premier Partners, they pride themselves on providing top-notch service and offering competitive rates and low fees. They understand that buying a home can be stressful, but their team is dedicated to making the process as easy as possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or a seasoned pro, they have the expertise to guide you through the entire process. So if you're looking to purchase a home in Louisville, let Motto Mortgage Premier Partners and Andrew Dow help you find the loan that's right for you. Call him today at 502-931-8670.